Let's go to Sweden. Over one-third of the population of Sweden actually emigrated to the U.S. during the period of 1840 to 1930. The mass exodus was estimated to be about 1.3 to 1.5 million Swedes who came here in waves. And they came largely to the agricultural areas of the Midwest, Minnesota, Iowa, Western Illinois, and Western Wisconsin. Perhaps you know. Perhaps you have some Swedish roots of your own. Perhaps you have some questions you might want answered about Sweden, which is why we bring our next guest to you all the way from Sweden. I'm Lee Rayburn, and joining us now are the couple that started Minnesota Swede. They are genealogists who have helped bring Swedish Americans over to Sweden to view their original heritage sites, and some of them have included Wisconsin, and they've brought Swedes here to the U.S. Chris Ridholm Overby was born and raised in the Twin Cities and now lives in Sigtuna, Sweden, where she co-owns Minnesota Swede. And Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
Also joining
us,
Magnus Ridholm, who is a native resident of Sweden, tour leader, and also co-owner with Chris of Minnesota Swede. Magnus, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Magnus, I'll start with you. Can you tell us a little bit of the story of how Minnesota Swede got started and how you went down this road of bringing people to your country?
Okay, yes, I can. We had, Chris and I, we have guided people before we started Minnesota Swede as a business. But we started the business in 2017. And I retired, and I thought it would be a good idea to go on with the genealogy and do some ancestor research and so on. And we figure out that it could be good business to do this. And some people told us that we should do it. So why not?
Why not? And Chris, what's
and it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it keeps us busy.
Something to do in retirement, but it seems like it would be rewarding to be able to see some of your roots. Chris, what's the experience like for those who visit through Minnesota Swede?
It's very often very emotional, very moving. They have heard about Sweden from grandparents or great-grandparents, and they come over and they get to see where these grandparents, great-grandparents were born, where life started off. It was often very difficult circumstances. And we can locate through church records in Sweden. The church, the Swedish church, collected taxes for 400 years. So we can go back with most families to the 1600s, and we can show them things about their family they had no idea about.
And where are some of the places that you've taken Swedish Americans when they visited? What are some highlights, Magnus?
Oh, it's always nice to bring them out to a farm where their ancestors had, maybe they even built the farm and it still stands there. It's very emotional to do that. And we take them to the churches, and sometimes we are lucky to have a grave there we can show, or a bridal crown for the that the wife have had when they got married. And we have been across Sweden. We all over Sweden, actually. And not that much up in the north part, but mostly in the southern half.
And the way you explain it, I can immediately understand why that could become emotional. Chris Ridholm Overby and Magnus Ridholm are guests from Sweden today, co-owners of Minnesota Swede. And we welcome you to the conversation about our Swedish ancestry here in Wisconsin, stories you might have if you visited Sweden, or if you have questions about Swedish ancestry. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Also, you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Kim in Eau Claire. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Tack så mycket.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Yep. So several years ago, we had a college student here in Eau Claire University, and we had their parents here, and they stayed with us. but they only would stay with us if we promised that we would go once I retired. So we went over and had a gorgeous time in Sweden. They live in Orland on the island south. And we went back again for her mom's 60th birthday party, where we had 92 people and everything was out of the garden, fresh from the farm, and plates and silverware and napkins and coffee cups, 92 people.
Yeah.
Kim, you've been there twice. Would you go back if you could?
Oh, I will.
And why?
I will.
And why? What draws you back to Sweden after visiting twice?
Well, they're kind of like family now. Yeah. So it's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. Go ahead,
Erland,
Chris.
Erland is a lovely place. Erland is a beautiful island, and I can understand why you like it, Kim. We've had several clients with background from there, so we've taken clients from all over the U.S. to that part of Sweden, too, on the eastern seaboard. It's great.
I'm getting a strong sense of family from not just Kim's call, but your business, Minnesota Swede. And what role does family play in Swedish culture, and how does that translate to our Swedish roots here in Wisconsin, Chris?
It's very strong. We've had about 10 Wisconsin families that we've reconnected with their Swedish roots from all over Wisconsin, Superior, close to the UP, Madison, Milwaukee area, Grantsburg. Where else, Magnus? Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson.
Yeah. So, and it's really, really important for them to be able to see where their ancestors came from, because they've heard stories. I think a lot of people did research during the pandemic, and then now that last wave of immigrants has died off, and they want to take the chance while there's still structures and things to be seen from the past, from their family.
And there can also revival for the culture.
Yeah.
We take them for a midsummer dance and so on.
But
at
we've
least
also
some of the guests.
We've also reunited family, and about 80% of our clients, we reunite them with second, third, and fourth generation descendants that are still over here. Yeah. So that is a very, very special, where they have cake and they have get together for coffee, and it's sometimes they weren't even aware of each other. But they've maintained connections afterwards.
So you're not just tour guides, you're genealogists as well. So you're able to make these family connections and actually connect them.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's go to Wendy in Oconomowoc next at 1-800-642-1234. Wendy, hi.
Hi. My grandparents came from Norway, and she always told me that we were 100% she was 100% Norwegian. Now, when I finally got my DNA done, I actually found that I'm only 39% Norwegian instead of 50%, and I'm actually 16% Swedish. So is it uncommon for people not to know that they have actually other Scandinavian ancestry than they think they have?
No, not at all. No. If we go back to the Viking times at the year 1000, there were no nation states. There was no Norway, Sweden, Denmark. It was just these Vikings traveling around. So everybody shared the same DNA. And then in the 1800s, we have Norway and Denmark are a union with each other. So they're actually one country ruled by Sweden. And a lot of the Norwegians were also emigrating, and they lived on the border with Sweden. And, you know, they intermarried and intermixed. So we have a lot of our clients of Swedish ancestry. We also do the Norwegian ancestry tracing, because grandma from Sweden got married to grandpa from Norway, either over the border or when they went to the States, they met in Fargo. So it's all kinds of combinations.
Not uncommon at all, Wendy, and thank you so much for the call. Magnus, how do you compare the cultures between the United States and Sweden? And Chris, I'd like to ask you the same thing. What's the culture shock for somebody like me when I visit?
Well, you will see, if you come in the middle of the summer, we have the midsummer festivals and so on, and we dance around the midsummer pool. That is going back, way back in time, in the Viking times and so on. And that would be quite a big deal for them coming over. They love to participate and dance around there and get some proper Swedish meals.
What's a proper Swedish meal, Magnus? You'd have to explain that.
I mentioned the meatballs before. at the midsummer, in the summer, we have pickled herring and so on, too, and cured salmon. So they will have to try that. And as the former guest you had there were in Öland, then they have something called kroppkaka, which is a potato dish. That's a mashed potato with some pork in it. It looks like a big, big meatball, but it's a potato ball. And that is very typical for Öland. And that would be a shock for them.
I don't know. I think a mashed potato ball with pork in it really speaks to the Wisconsin and me, so I'd be very curious to try.
And then you have melted butter on top of that. So
yes.
Really healthy.
So, Chris, you came from the Twin Cities, right? You grew up in the Twin Cities and now, you know, run Minnesota Swede in Sweden. So what was the culture shock like for you? And what is it that you relish showing Americans when they come to visit?
I came over 40 years ago, but I was with I went to the University of Wisconsin, where I got my degree, actually, even though I'm from the Twin Cities. And they had a program at the University of Uppsala, which is not far from Stockholm. It's a shock because of the climate for me. Stockholm is on the same latitude as Anchorage, Alaska, so we're that far north. So midsummer time that Magnus refers to, the summer solstice, we have daylight 20 hours a day. It doesn't even really get dark the other 4 hours. It just kind of... And then in the winter, it's exact opposite, where you've got pitch black and then 4 hours of kind of like overcast sky. Mm. So go up farther north in Sweden, it's dark several months of the year, that time of year. That's the big cultural shock for me that is still hard at times to get used to.
What about food? What kind of Swedish food did you find yourself gravitating to? What's your favorite dish today?
My favorite Swedish dish today is fish.
Yeah.
They have beautiful salmon dishes because, of course, we're on the Baltic Sea, but they also have fresh water fish like pike and perch. I didn't like pickled herring to begin with, but I love it now. So so it takes time, but you learn.
Well, lutefisk is a thing, right? Because I remember I've had lutefisk here, and that is an acquired taste. But once you get the taste of it, you know, it kind of has I'm drawn to it every time it's offered. So that certainly is a dish I think of.
That is a typical Christmas dish.
Yes.
Christmas dish, a winter dish. Why they had to preserve the fish somehow. They didn't have refrigerators, didn't have cold storage, so they would use the lye to soak it, and then they'd preserve it, and then they'd reconstitute it, and it gets that little gelatinous quality, but you have a white sauce and a lot of nutmeg or salt and pepper, you don't think of that. So
no, it makes me think of Christmas. That's Chris Ridholm Overby, who is one half of Minnesota Swede, along with her husband, Magnus Ridholm, and they are joining us today. Would you say the name of your city? I think I butchered it before.
Sigtuna.
Okay, I wasn't that far off. Tell us a little bit about Sigtuna, because I've seen that that's kind of where some say Sweden began.
Yeah, that's true. It's Sweden's first capital, founded 980. So we have people walking on a 1,000-year-old street, Main Street. And it's not that far away from the international airport. It takes about 15 minutes. And it is in between Stockholm and Uppsala. So it's quite perfectly situated.
And it was founded by a Viking king. His name was Erik the Victorious. In Swedish, we call him Erik Segersell. But he wanted a city where his Viking warriors could have close to the lake and the boats.
So. How many people live in Sigtuna?
I would say about 10,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can also join our conversation with Chris and Magnus as they join us from Sigtuna, Sweden today at 1-800-642-1234. If you have questions about your Swedish heritage or possibly visiting Sweden someday, they run Minnesota Swede. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. As Justin in Waupaca did, he emailed to say his late wife descended from the significant Swedish community on the south side of Chicago that was established in the 1800s and early 1900s. His wife's family was involved in the iron foundries in Sweden and then later Chicago. Justin has made Swedish pancakes from a church cookbook that was compiled in the 1930s in a prominent Swedish Covenant church from Chicago's south side, and they were delicious. We'd mentioned the agricultural connection between Swedish immigrants to the United States. I didn't think about the iron foundries. Was that a part of it as far as you know?
That was a very large part of it. In fact, mining is still one of our major industries here. Mm. In earlier times, there were both copper and iron ore and silver being mined here. And a lot of the miners, we had recently guests from the UP that had ancestors that went there. And they mined because they were familiar with it from Sweden. Iron ore. And we also had a man from central Sweden, an ancestor to several families that have come over, and he started a silver mine outside of Hudson, but that he lost it gambling, apparently, a few years after he made his fortune. So
yeah.
So mining was very important and very familiar to them.
And then the Swedish pancakes, because the Swedish pancakes are a destination in Door County, Wisconsin, for many families. And I think they are one of those things that I find very troubling to replicate or recreate. And for authentic Swedish pancakes, are they as popular there as they are as, say, Door County, Wisconsin?
I dare say.
Yes. With the lingonberries, too?
Yep, or other berries. You can have a different kind of it. But,
really, berries are secondary.
I can actually imagine to have some blueberry and lingonberry too. So, yep.
Like most families, we have traditionally Swedish pancakes on Thursday nights over here.
Thursday nights, yeah. Pancake night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have pea soup before, and then pancakes afterwards.
All right, I can make the pea soup. I'm not so sure I can make the pancakes, though, Magnus. I understand that Minnesota Swede has a tour coming up here in just a few days, right? I mean, September 5th through 15th?
In the end of September.
End of September,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us about what you have planned for this trip.
Well, it's two sisters. One lives in the Twin Cities, and one lives on the border over towards St. Croix Falls. And they are going to see where two sides of their family came from. Mm-hmm. So they have grandparents that came from central Sweden by a very large lake called Lake Vänern. And then the other ancestors on their other grandfather's side came from the south of Sweden in a very, very big province called Småland, where there were a lot of immigrants to the United States. So we're going to be taking them all over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your questions now for our guest, Chris and Magnus, who are co-owners of Minnesota Swede. And John in Fitchburg, you're next. Hi, John.
good morning. I have a question for you. My mother's genealogy goes back into the 16th century, all the way back to church records in a little Lutheran church on the German shore of the Baltic, or what is now Germany. And so when we did a DNA blood test, we expected to find lots of German. Well, we found a lot of Swede. So this was a bit of a surprise because we had no record of Swedish ancestry, but turns out that we're about a third Swedish. So I'm suspecting that before people emigrated to the United States, because of population pressure, et cetera, in Sweden, that some farmers maybe took a ship south rather than a ship to the west. Do you have any historical information on that?
Yes, we do. We have a very logical explanation for your family history. Sweden was a superpower in the 15 and 1600s. They were dominating not only Scandinavia, but all throughout the Baltic Sea. And in the early 1600s, there was something called the 30-Year War in northern Germany and northern Poland. And we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Swedish soldiers on the battlefield down there. And they left their DNA with the local population.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. John, thank you for calling. A little bit of history for us. Let's go to Marion in Green Bay next. Hi, Marion.
Hi there. Hi. I was wondering how difficult it would be to have Swedish citizenship when my dad was born there and immigrated in his early 20s. And my mom lived there for a period of time, but was actually born in Minneapolis. But
so you'd be interested in Swedish citizenship for yourself, Marion?
Yes, and perhaps to pass on to my kids. I'm getting up in age myself. So I was wondering how difficult that is, and if I have to be a landowner there first. It seems I've heard different things about it.
We were not experts in that field, although we've had clients that have inquired the same thing. And it's difficult unless you have a very close relative, direct relative, living relative to gain Swedish citizenship. A lot of Americans would like to come over here and work. And in some fields, if there is a specialty field where you're not taking work away from a Swedish citizen, like often it's doctors and nurses, you know, they will allow a certain amount of that immigration for work purposes. And then if you live here long enough, then you can apply for Swedish citizenship. But we really are not experts in this field, so it's kind of hard to answer that question.
Marion, thank you for the call. You are genealogists, though, so what can people do to research their genealogy in Sweden?
They can contact us.
Minnesota Swede can help.
Yeah, we can help them. We do read the church books. It's quite hard reading sometimes because of the writings. But we need to have the person's name and where the year is, if he was born and where, then we can start digging, and then we can start rolling up the tree, so to speak.
Well, now
we can say ancestry.com is a wonderful resource, but we, in our research, we only use the Swedish National Archive records. Okay. So we read Swedish, we do our research in the Swedish actual documents. So that's how we can go farther back in time.
Minnesota Swede can find the records for you in Sweden because that's where they are in Sigtuna today. And we thank you both for joining us. I'm going to try to find some Swedish ancestry myself because it sounds like I would love a visit. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you.
That's Magnus Ridholm and Chris Ridholm Overby, genealogists and owners of Minnesota Swede. As we heard, they've got a tour coming up at the end of the month for a couple of sisters, and maybe you'd be interested as well. We're going to stick in Sweden next with somebody who won a Swedish island, at least for a year. So Wisconsin resident Eric Homer joins us in the studio. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News.